Yeah. Don't question Nathan. Nathan knows everything. All right, we're here.
All right.
We made this.
What up, Big Dong? Are we recording?
Yes, we are recording. Okay. Ready?
Aloha.
Ready.
3, 2, 1. All right. Actually, I have to mention this right now. You guys start the podcast. Every guest that I have starts the podcast for me. So you guys just start it.
And all right.
Act as if it's your podcast.
Great.
It's called Better Together, but act as if it's your podcast.
All right.
Ready?
Action.
You just want me to start it?
You start it, but you have to look at Mike.
These are too many rules. That's too many rules. I'm gonna step out for 5 minutes.
No, dude.
And y'all can start.
All right, 30 seconds. Just look at him in his eyes. You look back into his eyes as you're starting it, okay?
Everybody, what's up? And welcome to the Better Together podcast. My name is Sebastian.
Look at him for 30 seconds.
And this is Jake Roquet next to me.
Why are you not saying anything?
What do you got to say?
He's doing the intro.
Thanks for being here, Jake Roquet.
All right. Anyways, what's up, everybody? Welcome to these two goofs did not do a good job at starting the podcast.
I did a great job.
Anyways.
That's all I got
to
say.
What's up, everybody? Everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Better Together podcast. I'm your host, Sebastian Gomez, and I am here with my two boys. I have three fingers up. Sorry, my bad. Two boys, Mike and Jake, but I don't know Mike's last name. So, Mike, what's your last
Sutherland,
name?
Sutherland, yes.
Sutherland.
Sutherland? Sutherland. Sutherland. Everyone always does L-A-N-D, but
it's Sutherland. Like the South, like Souther, like T-H.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I'm here with Mike Sutherland, Jake Roquet. Jake, he's been on the podcast before. Welcome back. This is your third time being on the podcast.
Is it my third time?
This is you're the second.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right. It is my third time.
I think you are the second in of people who have done the podcast the most.
Wow. I'm honored.
You're
reoccurring
number two.
Reoccurring guest.
You're a reoccurring guest. You might be battling
with
Jesse Gabe.
It's a great podcast. I'm happy to be here.
You might be number two or three. I don't know. But this is Mike's first podcast.
First ever podcast, yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah, not too nervous, actually.
Let's go! My dad told me to stop screaming, so I'm going to stop screaming. Anyways, the reason I have both of you guys here today is because I'm very excited to announce as if it's something special, but it's something special. So let's start it off. Where did this story start? How do all three of us know each other? And the question is, what got us here today? And what is the mission and what are we trying to talk about today?
I can spark notes it for us.
Let's go.
So what got all of us here today? So me and Mike were roommates in college.
Nice.
And he recently moved in next to me again. We live far apart from each other, I guess, for a couple of years. And then he moved in right around the corner. Me and Sebastian, we met 3 years ago now, something like that.
I think so.
But it was around a time where we met each other, but then pretty soon after we signed up to do a half iron.
Apparently, I met you without even knowing that I met you.
Where at?
At the gym.
Oh, yeah. We met at the gym.
I don't remember it.
We met at the gym, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is Seb guy. Because right when I started working for Jess and Gabe.
You were.
And then we met.
Ah.
Well, yeah. So we met then, and then pretty soon after, one thing led to another, I guess, Spark Notes version. We signed up for a half marathon together. It was a really good experience. We trained together about 5 weeks or so, went through that process, went really well. Since then, we've just hung out a lot and become good friends, and I have a lot of shared interests. And when we were going through that process, I remember we were at coffee one day after one of our runs, and we were talking. I think I forget how it came up, but we were like, "Yo, half Ironman, we should do half Ironman." I was like, "Bro, I'll do a half."
I don't know what I was saying.
We'll do half Ironman for sure, and so we shook on it. Then a long time, a couple years back, before the world shut down, before
2019. In 2019, we signed. Uh-huh. We shook hands before, maybe 2020, the beginning of 2020.
No, it was definitely. I was gonna say no. It was definitely not 2020.
Did you guys shake on doing a half Ironman or on a full Ironman?
A half Ironman.
Half Ironman. Possibly a full Ironman too, because
the full Ironman's on the table. But we shook on a half Ironman.
Mm-hmm. And for anyone who doesn't know what a half Ironman is, Mike, you know what's a half Ironman?
Yeah. So, well, I'll say what a full Ironman is. Full Ironman is a 2.4 mile swim. something like 112 mile bike ride.
Oh my gosh.
And then a full marathon, so 26.2 miles.
So it's a 140.6 mile race. The half Ironman's a 70.3 mile race.
Yeah, and we're doing, so we are doing 1.2
exactly
mile, 1.2 mile swimming.
I think it's 1.1 swim.
1.1?
Like, we're bad at math, but it's a 13.1 mile
yeah.
run.
It's so a half marathon. What's,
how many miles are left over? Like 56?
56.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 56 miles of biking, 1 mile of swimming, 13 miles of running.
Correct.
And I'm effing scared. And I'm going to just, let's just dive into this. Okay. Right. So we're here today. I also want to mention how I met Mike. I met Mike the first time and we were already talking about doing this half Ironman and I agree. And I was like, oh, I'm doing it. And then I got very scared to meet Mike because I didn't know who Mike was and what his personality was.
He's a scary
like.
Guy too. So
no, I just like when you meet new people, I just feel like it's hard to meet new people. Uh-huh. And especially with guys, there's always like this level of like, more macho. Am I more macho than you?
Well, I guess like working out with dudes, it's like there's a competition factor a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I met Mike and you're just so approachable and you don't care about what other people think. And you just worry. You're just in your lane. And because you're in your lane and you don't worry about what other people think about you, you're able to be yourself in first encounters with other people. And I just want to mention, dude, I had a great time meeting you.
Thanks.
And that goes for both of you guys. You know, you came up to me at 24 Hour Fitness. And I appreciate that, even though I don't remember it. I'm a narcissist. What's up? But I really, when I met you, it was nighttime. It was around what? 1 a.m. in the morning and, or 12. Late. It was like 12.
Yeah.
It was like 12 a.m. And we talked till 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I was giving this big talk like, dude, we're doing the half Ironman. You better sign up too. I heard you're going to do it and you better sign up because we're going to be tougher and stronger. And then I became a wussy. And I got scared.
You thought about not doing it for a bit, huh?
Dude, for a long time.
Yeah, for a while.
But Mike, yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, bro.
And dude. Yeah,
I remember that first night that we met. I think I got there probably around midnight. You guys had been there, I don't know, earlier that night. I think you guys had some sort of concert or activity.
Did we run or something? We did something.
We did something.
We got back from, I think we were hanging out with people.
Nicole.
We came back.
We went to Nicole's house.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
But yeah, we basically had like, some sort of 2-hour heart-to-heart meet-slash-get-to-know-each-other conversation where by the end of it, we basically had agreed that we were going to do something crazy and that
do something
we're
going to
do it together. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very scary. And to be honest, what I want to ask for each of you guys, what is your motive? What is the reason why you want to do this? And this goes for you separately. I'll give my own reason too, but I want to hear your, like, just throughout dialogue, just what is your reason? Why did you choose to do this? Why are we doing something as crazy as this? Because so many people hear half Ironman, you know, I think even people that hear you run marathons or half marathons, they already applaud you. But when you do something like a half Ironman or a full Ironman, people think you're insane for trying to put yourself in physical pain and really just torture yourself for a couple of months to just pass a finish line, because that's literally what we're doing. We're just passing a finish line. We're just crossing a line. So why did you guys want to do it? What's your motive?
Maybe I'll kind of figure out exactly more what my motive is as I talk through it. But I think there's value in doing difficult things. And things that are worthwhile are typically difficult to do. It's what makes them worthwhile in the first place. So I think for me, it's just a personal challenge. And it's something I'm not certain I'm going to be able to do. I'm more confident in your guys' ability. I think I'm starting from a little bit behind. So I think it's something that I think if I do it, it would break down obviously a physical barrier, but I think a bit of a mental one as well.
Dang, man. Mm-hmm. I honestly think, I personally, from getting to know you, Mike, from the last two workouts I've done with you, because we just started working out together, because we've Jake's had school, you have your job, I've been just traveling, seeing my family. But I think there's potential in you that you just haven't, that maybe that you just like, dude, when we ran, what did we run? Like a 3-mile run with Mike. And he, the whole time before we started that run, Mike was like, oh, I'll probably stay back, but I'll still finish it. And the whole run, you kept it up with us without any struggle. I mean, you probably were struggling. You were in a lot of pain.
Definitely not without struggle, but yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot.
But hung in there.
But you hung in there, dude. And I think that's just seeing, and even today, because we just finished a 14-mile bike. Well, how?
It's something like that, yeah, 14, 15
miles. 14, 15 miles of biking, and then we did a 3-mile run. Dude, insane stuff. And this guy's going and going and going and going. And I think you don't give yourself enough credit, bro. I honestly don't think you give yourself enough credit. Just because every challenge that we've put ourselves up to, you've just done it. Maybe it's 10 seconds later, a minute later, 2 minutes later, but you still effing did it, which is insane. You know, most people are not even willing to,
sure,
to put themselves through that pain or pressure. Jake, why do you want to do it?
I think it starts from a similar place of what Mike said too. I think that there's a lot of value in doing difficult things, and the only way that you get better at it is by doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I think one of the most important things towards being successful in life, and really no matter what your conception of success is like consistency and showing up and putting in the work, like day in and day out. And I think that is a muscle that you can develop, sort of like a mental muscle, like that discipline that comes with that. I meditate often, and I feel like that's what I'm seeking for in that, is like discipline, more of a mental sort, but like discipline over your mind, sitting down, putting your phone away, like focusing on something for a period of time, and like doing it because it's difficult, you know? And I think that like increases your like pain threshold of sorts, like your difficulty threshold to things that you can complete in life. It's the sort of, I guess maybe a good example of that is I had this past Friday, which I put myself in a bad position, but I had a bunch of work to do to finish up my class. And I sat in front of my laptop for 41 hours straight without sleeping, and just like wrote papers and did a few assignments and like turned it in. And I think that there's when you do unbelievably difficult things, there's a confidence that comes later. Like when you put yourself in a position to need to do difficult things, it's like, yeah, like this is, I do this, you know, like this is like, yeah, I've done things like this. In fact, I've done even more difficult things than that. And my brother did a full Ironman, and I remember talking with him a lot through his training process. And when he finished, and he says, it's the sort of thing where when you go through and you do a 16 hour torture session, you know, you like take yourself to the bottom of the abyss that, you know, of like pain that you go through. But, and I think there's a lot of ancient philosophy attached to these sorts of ideas too, but to look at something really difficult and like face it head on, like that is what helps you grow as a person. And having opportunities like that with the full Ironman, my brother was like, yeah, you do something like that, and then you show up to work the next week and you got 8 hours of work to do, and you're like, this is
easy.
Yeah, this is a walk in the park out here, you know, like that's no problem. I can do that sort of thing. And even, you know, whether it's physical challenges, mental challenges, like emotional challenges, to be more of the kind of person that when really hard things come your way in life, because guess what?
We're all going to go through crap.
Like life's hard, and tragedy comes along often and in a lot of different shapes. And whether it's tragedies or hard things that come or whatever it is, it's like if you're the type of person that has put in the work to be able to handle those kinds of things, that's more the person I'd like to be, you know? Yeah. So
that's moving towards good, that. Dude. I like that. The reason I'm doing it is because I'm just tired of being a baby. Dude, I don't want to use this word because then people get mad, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to say it.
You can say it and then bleep it out.
I'll just say I'm such a P word.
A P word.
When it comes up
to penis? Yes.
Okay. That. Exactly that. I'm such a penis, bro.
Uh-huh. kidding. Right.
But I'm such a baby at life. Whenever something hard comes at me, dude, what?
Keep going. I'm just grabbing water.
Oh, grab a water. But I'm such a baby at everything. It started off with, you know what? I'm just gonna mention it to you guys. So when I was in freshman year of high school, I didn't make the soccer team, and I was crying. And my dad came in too, and he talked to the coach. He's like, dude, he's been practicing for so long. He's gone to summer camps trying to be, you know, the best of the best. How can you not let him in? We've even put him in summer camps where from your own school so that he could have a higher chance of getting in. And I didn't get in. Then that next year, I tried again and I went through even more summer camp of like soccer summer camp. And I remember I put like my heart and soul out into it to the point that even in the final, in the second to last practice, I put for tryouts, in the second to last tryouts, everyone was running. We had to run like a mile. And I remember just being like, I don't want to be the last person in this group. I want to be the person that leads this whole group as we run this mile so the coach can notice me and know that I'm giving my 100%. And I did that, and I was the last person to make it to the final tryouts. And then on that last tryout session, where he was going to figure out the team, I wasn't picked for the first 12v12 in the 11v11 for the soccer match. He was basically setting the team up, and then he left four or five subs out, and I was one of those subs. And I remember I was left out, and I was asking myself, oh, did I not make the cut? And so when I finally was subbed in the last 13 to 15 minutes of soccer practice of this game that he was trying to figure out who was who and who was going to have a solid place in the team, I ended up assisting a goal for somebody else in that match because I was all I wanted to do was make the soccer team and make my dad proud. Mm-hmm. And they didn't score at all throughout that whole match, the other team. And if it wasn't for me giving that assist, they wouldn't have scored, and I still didn't make the team. Mm. And so after that, I think moments like that broke me down to the point where I was just like, dude, you know what? I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of giving my 100%. It's not worth it. And I started to grow a weak mentality, a victim mentality. Mm-hmm. Where I was just like, life's not fair. You know, I know that I'm better than these other people, but the opportunities that I'm given are just not it. And even when it comes up to YouTube, I know, even today, I know that I'm a better editor than most people on the website. But I don't have 1 million subscribers, and I don't have 2 million subscribers. And I'm tired of always being underrated. I'm tired of being called underrated. I'm tired of being known as someone who's just a background character. Hmm. And I want to be a main character. I want to be someone who I was telling you this earlier. You know, I want to be someone that shows up in a conversation, and whenever somebody talks about racing or just any physical activity, I want to be that person that someone says in the conversation, oh, Seb did an Ironman, ask him. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jake did an Ironman, ask him. And
why?
Because I think it just goes back to just being, not being, not.
Like, what does that mean to you? Who is that person to you? You know what I mean?
I think it's, I'm tired of not being recognized.
Hmm.
For the talent that I have in something. And I was telling you, to both of you guys, this earlier, and it's going to sound very egotistical, but I want to be someone when a conversation shows up and they say, dude, you're crazy. Why are you doing these crazy runs? Why are you going out on a run, on a bike, on a swim? Why are you doing these races? Because you're not. And I want to show to you that you're living in your comfort zone. And I lived in that comfort zone. And I allowed myself to be a victim of that comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tired of being a baby. I'm tired of I'm even going to mention this right now. It took me 3 months, 4 months for you to convince me to finally do this half Ironman, because it's a huge financial investment.
Mm-hmm.
You have and to
a
buy
time investment,
a time yeah. investment, yeah. a time investment, a financial investment. And I'm barely making money to pay for my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to say, oh man, I don't want to do it because I want to be in my safe zone and I want to make enough money so I don't freak out. I'm allowing myself to be in my comfort zone again, to retreat in my comfort zone and grow that victim mentality of saying, dude, I don't make enough money, so I just can't do it. And I remember you telling me this, and I remember both of us talking about this. One of the things you mentioned to me was, hey, don't you know that something like this is going to teach you what you're capable of? That a race like this is going to teach you, just how you said, your brother, when he showed up at the 8-hour work week, he saw it and he was like, dude, this is easy. This is super easy. And I want to have that mentality with anything, so that when I run this race, when I have a hard time with YouTube, when I doubt myself, when I see other people blow up, dude, I'm telling you this straight up.
It's like, I'm not a quitter.
I'm not a quitter, bro.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And it goes for the city too. Right. It goes for the city too. You know how many people effing quit their dreams? Mm-hmm. Do we want to be quitters? I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to be known as someone that goes back to their hometown and says, I gave up. Mm-hmm. That I didn't give it everything that I had. Because I know that there's something in me that I haven't tapped into yet. Mm-hmm. And I need to tap into that. And I need to find that. And I'm not going to find that through. And I think it depends on the person. Maybe it's a work ethic. You know, maybe it's your job that you have to find that place to tap into and find where you can really dig in and find out who you are. And I know for me, athletically, I've been gifted to have a healthy body and to be able to do these endurance races. And for me, I just know this is where I know I can find my untapped potential. This is not the easy way, but the path most clear to me that has taught me the most about my fear, my victimhood mentality, and overcoming my pain. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Thanks. That's my TED talk right there, bro.
There you go.
Dude, what do you guys think? Mike, you got anything to say? I don't know.
I think this is actually something Jake and I were talking about a few nights back, but there's like getting challenged, and like your story about getting cut from the soccer team. That's obviously a huge bummer in the moment. I'm sure you're crushed over it.
Bro, I cried.
Yeah, fair. I know some people who didn't have like really any challenges growing up. And I think that while it may seem nice in the moment, that's something that probably comes back to haunt them to a certain degree later in life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it's just more support for the idea that challenging yourself, especially intentionally challenging yourself with things that you're not certain that you're going to be able to accomplish, there's a lot of purpose in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of things that are difficult, a lot of unfortunate things that happen, oftentimes, if you look for it, have like an equal and opposite reward, like when everything is said and done for, you know? So like hard challenges that people go through, and you know, a lot of people have good lives handed to them, and that's great. Yeah. that's something to be thankful for. Yeah. And in a real, a genuine good for you,
yeah.
You know, like it's like, yeah, you know, that's a good thing to hear. And I think too, that even with people that have more difficult opportunities handed to them or put imposed upon themselves, you know, cause that's what we're doing here. You know, you can have difficult things that come up in life, or you can like impose them upon yourself too, you know? And
yeah.
And I think that there's growth that comes in each of those. And yeah, so that idea of like for every hard thing that comes through, I think there's like an equal and opposite reward. And I think that when you put yourself through suffering, or when like suffering comes along, if you can like stick it out to the other side, there's something to be gained from it that makes it worthwhile almost always.
Absolutely, dude. It's crazy. And I'll just say this. This is another reason why I decided that I have to do this, because I gave a big speech to Mike that night.
He did.
Big motivational speech.
He did. I was like, we're doing this. If you don't do this, you're a loser, blah, 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 whatever.
Basically.
And then
I think I remember responding something like, I hope I finish. My goodness. Right. That would be a bummer.
I can't come home. Yeah, you come home. I told Mike a couple of days ago, I said, you come home a winner or you don't come home at all.
Whoa. <this race. laughs> Dang. That's
how much time my kids every day they leave for school.
Oh,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, dude, I'm kind of kidding. I'll say that. I'll say that to my kids. Absolutely.
Come home a winner or don't come home at all.
Dude, if you're not first, you're last. Where's that from? Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights. Bobby. If you're all not right, first, you're right. last.
It sounded like kicking and screaming. I was going to get.
Well, dude, it sounds, yeah, it's pretty similar. Thing. But yeah, I also knew that.
I'm joking, everybody at home, by the way. I won't say that to my kids.
I will, you effing losers. Just kidding.
Question for both of you guys.
Go for it.
All right.
How certain are you guys that you're going to finish?
100%.
Seb.
99.9, because I could get hurt, I guess.
Only 0.01% of the time you're getting hurt?
Yep.
All right.
Hurt to the point where I couldn't finish.
I think I have the mentality, being young, that the mentality of like, oh, I'm unstoppable. No one can stop me. You know, I have that mentality of just, dude, I can do anything. I'll do it right now. F it. Because I'm just young and I'm naive. And I know that I can possibly hurt myself in training if I don't put myself through it. We were saying this earlier. If I put the amount of time, the right amount of time into this, and I wake up at 7 a.m. and I give those runs and I go biking and I really, I just discipline myself. I know 100% I'll finish it, but I have to do the things that I'm scared of, which is swimming, because I'm a baby and I'm scared of swimming. I'm absolutely scared of swimming.
Seb told us today that he used to cry in pools when he was young.
Yeah. Why'd you put me on blast? Why'd you put me on blast, whatever? No, dude. I did cry. I cried all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I would be in my... We would go to the YMCA. I had to take swimming classes at the YMCA. And my mom and my dad would bring my sister and I to the YMCA. And for 15 to 20 solid minutes, I'd be crying. I remember there was a point where I was in the water... And my swimming instructor let me go. And I was drowning. I was drowning.
But did you drown though?
I didn't drown.
There we go. It worked.
I was literally like the only thing you saw above water was my nose. That was the only thing. Like the tip of my, not even my nostrils, just a nose. I was about to die. And I remember just crying in the pool. I was crying in the pool. And that till this day, I'm horrified of swimming. Even in high school, when I had to do the swimming laps and all that stuff, I would go to the nurse's office and fake that I was sick so I didn't have to do those swimming classes for within that gym season.
Yeah.
And my mom, she doesn't know how to swim and she's afraid. She's deathly afraid of the water. Like she won't even go in her own pool and stand in it. We've lived in our house for seven.
You have a pool.
At my house in New York.
She doesn't use it.
And for seven, I think we've lived there for 17. So, Mom, I'm so sorry if you're watching this. I'm putting her on blast. But for like 17 to 18 years of us living in that house, she has not stepped in that pool once. Not even in ground level. And because of her fear of the ocean and her fear of the water and... I'm not blaming her because, you know, I understand her fear and I know that other people have that fear, but that fear kind of transmitted to me. And so that's why I wanted to learn how to surf because, you know, I just want to do things that scare me. I'm tired of not doing things that scare me. I'm tired. That's why I've skydived. I've bungee jumped. I've learned how to surf. I've learned how to skate and I'm not the best skater, but I need to do
this. We're in a Thrasher tee though, so dude, you better be all right.
Yeah, you know? No, dude, I know. Yeah, dude. Sorry, I'll put the shirt inside out. But I'm just tired of, and that's why I was telling you earlier, my parents are going to listen to this. I was like, I want to get a motorcycle because I'm tired of being scared of all these things. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
We'll go there another time.
Yeah, we'll go there another time.
We had a long chat about motorcycles earlier.
Yeah, dude. It's rough. Bad. So I actually have a challenge for you guys. A challenge. I have a question/challenge. So we worked out today. I'm going to be very narcissistic here.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. As long as you say it ahead of time.
I'm not trying to be better than you guys. But it's gonna come off as I'm being better than you guys.
All right, go ahead.
Let's hear it.
I'll tell you if it's not true.
Why did you guys work out with music today? Why do you guys work out with music?
What's crazy is I usually don't. I usually listen to podcasts and stuff. But yeah. But just I was trying to get after on the bike today, and yeah. I had music that was ranging from like 90 to 100 BPM, and I was just staying with it.
You were
grinding. Yeah,
you were grinding.
I just don't miss. It's a lot easier for me to just be like, okay, well, this is. I'm just not gonna like miss beats in the song, and then I never slow down. I'm at the exact same speed the whole way through. So
does that question sound egotistical and narcissistic?
No, it sounds like you're asking why I listen to music while I was working out. Yeah, that's it only sounds egotistical if you think that it makes you better than us if you didn't listen to music. Then it does sound egotistical.
No,
yes.
I don't think that. Yeah. Just a little bit.
It doesn't sound like you think that. Yeah.
I think my reasoning is as simple as it's difficult for me to get like very excited about doing long distance bike riding.
Yeah,
and that's true. To a podcast or music makes it more enjoyable.
The only reason I ask that is because for this race, for the Ironman, you know, when we ran the half marathon or the full marathon, you're allowed to listen to music while you go on this run. But for an Ironman,
no music.
You're not allowed to listen to music. Yeah. And something I haven't done. I go on runs by myself, like without music. So most of the time, mm-hmm. I would say like 65% of the time, I don't run with music.
Really?
But I've never biked without music. And biking isn't my thing. Like biking, I've never biked before. I just started biking for the very first time two weeks ago. And this probably was my third time biking ever. Mm. And so I kind of asked this question because I learned something today that I took note of what was happening during our workout today. Mm. When I started, my mentality, I got to minute 15 and I told you guys, hey, I don't think I can do this. I think I'm going to finish off at 30 minutes and then I'm good to go. And then Mike tagged along. What did you say? You said, oh, I'll probably do 40 minutes or something like that. Like
let's do like 45 at least. Then we're like 40. We could do 40.
Or something. Like it went from me, and I'm not putting anything on because I started it. I was being a baby. I'm an effing baby. I'm a baby. I'm not saying anything towards you, Mike. I swear to you. He's giving me a look like as if I'm gonna say something.
No, I'm just curious. Let's hear it.
No, so I said I wanted the easy way out, which was very I saw it transmit to Mike, and then after it transmitted to Mike,
hear you guys because I just had my headphones.
You had your head. That's probably why you didn't like it didn't transmit to you because you had your headphones on. You're like, I'm in the zone, and I remember like, oh f, if he's in the zone, then I have to be in the zone. And then I remember right after that, I wasn't listening to music. So the whole time I had to learn how to talk to myself as I was doing this bike ride. And for the first 15 minutes, I was struggling. I was like, I think I'm only going to be able to hit 30 minutes. Then you said no. And then that, I guess, attached to Mike and I, or maybe Mike didn't even hear it and Mike just kept on going. And then I was like, F, I'm going to have to do more than 30 minutes because I know this guy's not going to do less than 30 minutes. So then I hit 25 minutes and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? This is easy. Like, this isn't that bad. Not easy, but I was like, oh, I'm about to hit 30 minutes. And then I said, all right, I'm going to do 40 because Jake said 40. And within those 40 minutes, I started doing the rosary because I was freaking out and I couldn't count. So I just started praying throughout the first, I started praying for 10 minutes. I said 10 Hail Marys. And one glory be, and then 10 Hail Marys and one glory be, because that kept my mind concentrated on something else. Yeah. And I don't even remember the prayer in Spanish. So I was trying to focus on the how to say it in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I was saying the rosary in Spanish, but it helped me. And it was contagious to see, because I was going to stop at 40 and I saw you keep on going. And I was like, F man, now I have to keep on praying. So I kept on praying. I kept on praying for another 5 minutes. But what I learned from that, obviously we all, you know, when you do runs, whether it's with music or not, it's you will experience a runner's high. Like you do experience a runner's high once you finish. You're like, dude, I did it. I experienced it. But when I swear to you, I've never struggled as much as I did today. And the whole time within the
never.
Last, I mean, I've struggled.
Okay,
sure.
Okay.
But like, I struggle because this, like, on a bike.
You had ups and downs. I can see it. Yeah.
And those last 5 minutes, I swear to you, I hit cloud nine, and I just kept on saying, "Bro, you're an effing beast. You got this. You're doing this because no one else is doing this. Everyone here in the gym," I was like, "Dude, everyone else here doesn't, like, you know what I'm saying?" And I asked that question because, or I brought this up because I'm telling you guys, you have to try it. Like, go for a 45 minutes and an hour bike ride with no music. And that's another reason why I want to do this race, because it's teaching me, without having to deal with music or listen to a podcast or listen to an audiobook, it's taught me how to talk to myself.
Yeah, that's a fair critique, I think, to a certain degree, because I mean, I know, speaking for myself, I basically have headphones in listening to different input almost all day long. Like when I'm showering, when I'm driving, mostly when I'm working, when I drive back, if I work out, it's like, I don't know, most of the hours I'm awake, I'm getting some sort of input. Dude, which, yeah, that will be an adjustment. That's fair.
I do the same thing. I wake up, I go in the shower, I listen to a podcast. I go out and I make my food and I'm listening to some David Goggins speak, and I don't know how to talk to myself. I literally don't know how to talk to myself. And when we were racing, when we were doing the half marathon, I think the reason I felt so good in that period of time in my life was because I was running without music, and I was starting to build the habit of learning how to talk to myself when I felt like that I couldn't, you know, surpass whatever objective I had for that set for that day. And so, I mean, I'm just mentioning it. Maybe I sound very like an a-hole right now for mentioning this, but I'm just saying, bro, like, we should try a run without music, or try a bike ride without music, because, dude, I'm telling you, I've never talked to myself so well in a while. Until today. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Is there, here's another question.
All right.
What do you have to say? Go for it.
No, I agree. I think it's a valuable thing to do. I think even I mentioned it already, but meditation is just like a really important thing for me. And I think that.
Why is meditation so important to you? What have you learned from it?
It's a couple things. I think it's really important for me just to be able to, like we talked about, we had a long conversation about this, but this constant input that you have all the time, just to like set your phone down, like do nothing else but nothing for a little bit of time, and like focus on your breath or whatever form of meditation that you're going after. And it's just such a useful exercise to be able to control your mind in that way. And I think what you get really good at too is, I usually practice a form of mindfulness meditation. So you spend a lot of time noticing things. I think being able to notice things is very useful. A thought comes into your mind, you notice your mind wander, you bring it back to your breath, that sort of stuff. And then throughout your daily life, I'll notice my emotions. I'll be like, I'm anxious right now. I'm noticing that I'm anxious. What is the root of this? I'm resentful, or I'm bothered, or I'm angry, or I'm feeling good. It's like, I'm noticing this and sort of like, notice those emotions or even thoughts, or even you might say something to somebody and you'll hear yourself say it and be like, well, that's not the tone of voice I wanted to use, or that's not exactly what I'm trying to communicate, whatever it is. So you get better at noticing things, basically, is what I think. And running, when I do run without any sort of input or anything, that's what I notice happening at the same. It's very meditation-like to me, where you're doing a similar process. And I also think too, it's really important to, I've also heard meditation described as like checking your mental inbox. So it's like, you know, when you get like emails and like things pop up and maybe like make you feel a certain way. I think when I go and run, you have some time just to like not have input, and your brain's just allowed to just like think and process information and process, you know.
Right. You can't distract yourself from the things that are bothering you. You can't kind of hide them in the fog.
Right.
And kind of push them in the back of your mind and forget about them if you take time to sit in silence.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think there's like a massive utility, like emotionally and
that sounds
spiritually
pretty hardcore, though,
and
sitting in silence
mentally and whatever. Yeah. Just, I think there's a lot that is gained from that. And it's really, really rare now, especially we live in like a highly populated city. We're like around just technology and input and people and all that stuff all the time. And I think that, yeah, like stillness and silence is underrated, especially if you can do that in nature too, when you can. I think that there's even a lot of like scientific literature about the effect that awe has on people, like a feeling of awe. And it's known to like highly increase people's, it helps with people with like depression and anxiety and that sort of stuff. It alleviates those sorts of things. So just like yeah, having opportunities to be like having peace and like in awe of things, which I think like it is, silence in nature.
It is a classic.
Induces that.
Sorry, it's a classic to like look up into the sky at night, see the moon and the stars, and think about like your issue at work or with homework or whatever the negative interaction you had with a family member or a friend, and just be like, my goodness, that I was putting a lot of time and attention towards that problem that I could probably solve relatively easily. And in the large scheme of things, like a day from now, a week from now, that's not going to matter.
Can I read a poem about that?
Go for it.
You keep talking. See what you're going to say, but I want to read it.
I think
I want to look up a poem.
Yeah, look up the poem. I think there, you mentioned two things about keeping, you notice more of your thoughts. In the Bible, it talks, Paul talks about taking every thought captive. And we are not able to do that until we sit in silence and learn how to sit in silence, I think. Once you build the habit of being okay with the thoughts that go through your head, you're able to build the habit of just taking notice of the thoughts that go through your head and making them captive and saying, okay, this isn't going to affect me. I'm going to let this thought affect me. This thought goes out the window. And another thing, one last thing, was that to this day, so far, all of us, we've come out of 100% of the problems that we've experienced in our lives.
None of them got me yet.
Yeah, none of them got you yet. Unless you ride a motorcycle, then you might die.
True, true.
Anyways.
Statistics aren't great. So we're talking about something I try to do quite often, and it actually works because I live in this back house. So like there's like a pool house, back house kind of thing I live in.
It's tight.
But it is tight. I love it. I genuinely really, really love it. One of the things that's a bummer is that my bathroom is detached. So I like walk like 20 feet outside to go to the bathroom. But what it gives me an opportunity to do often, like when I'm really stressed out, is exactly what you said. Look up into the sky and be like, you look at the stars and you look at the moon and you just like sit in awe of that. And it makes you think like my problems that feel like the world is like crumbling around me. It's like, we're all still going to be here. Like everything's going to be okay, you know, but there's this poem I heard. I heard Elon Musk read it on the Lex Fridman podcast. So shout out to Lex Fridman, but it just, when we're talking about it, made me think of that. And I remember it was profound for me. So maybe
let's go.
Someone else might find it to be that way too.
I'm ready.
It's called A Pale Blue Dot by Carl Sagan.
It better not suck.
And so it's
you won't be disappointed.
I'm just kidding, dude.
There's a lot about him, but he's a great dude. It's centered off of this photo that he took from I think the Voyager 1 was sent out into space.
Wow.
Looking back on the Earth. And in this photo, you guys can see it here. Maybe you could put a picture of it. Right here, this pale blue dot is Earth. Like hanging, suspended.
Oh, right here,
sort of thing. Right there.
Oh,
little ray of
dang.
Light. Right? So you could put up on the screen if you want.
Whoa.
So he said about this photo. He said, "Look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering." Thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines. Every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization. Every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father. Hopeful child, inventor and explorer. Every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and every sinner in the history of our species lived there. On a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage in a very vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that they could, in glory and triumph, they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of that dot. Makes it sound really silly when you hear it that way. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatreds. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark, and our obscurity in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from anywhere to save us from ourselves. maybe a bit of a deviation from some religious beliefs that we might have, but a lot of the premise is still the same. The Earth is the only known world so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species can migrate, visit, yes, settle, not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. There's one more paragraph, so I'll read it. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. Yeah, so I hear that, and I think especially that resolution he comes to, it's like, this is, imagine being like resentful and angry and bitter towards people over like this little thing that happened when you could like instead be kind because there's been rivers of blood spilled for some of the most, like, relatively, especially if you think in terms of like eternity, like the most momentary powers and privileges or things that we have, you know? And so looking through that lens, even to think like, even to put, it just puts things really truly in perspective. And I think that there's a really important idea is if you thought of the world as like everything matters, because I think everything you do matters, every single thing you do matters. And I think that's a really important thing, view of the world, but also balanced with the like, nothing you do matters that much, really. You know, like there's I think there's a healthy balance between those two
ideas.
Yeah,
for sure.
So,
yeah. Dang, that's good. If there's one last thing each of you guys could say to encourage someone to face the challenges that they've been holding back because of fear or a victimhood mentality or anything that's been, you know, stopping them, what would you tell them if they were thinking of racing or thinking of chasing a job opportunity? What's one piece of advice, or not even piece of advice, but what, as a friend, as a friend, just like me and you, if I said, hey, I'm thinking of doing this thing and I don't know if I should do it, but here are all the benefits, but I don't know if I should do it. I don't even think I can. What would you say?
One thing that I've been kind of thinking about and working on lately, is being willing to be a fool. And that's like super uncomfortable mostly because it's not fun to be a fool. It's not fun to be bad at things and fail at things. But there's this idea that the fool is the precursor to the savior. And people who are now really good at things used to be really bad at them. So
and being, you have to be willing to be bad at them first, right?
That's kind of a prerequisite to becoming good at something a lot of the time. So I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to do here. I'm hoping to finish. I might not. I'm going to give it my best shot.
You will, dude. You will finish.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's something that's been difficult for me. I sometimes avoid things that I think I'm not going to be good at or things that I think I'm going to fail at. So I guess this is kind of going for it a little bit. But yeah, be willing to put yourself out there and be willing to be a fool and be willing to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, bro.
That's a good one.
How about you?
I really like the phrase conflict delayed is conflict multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if there's something that you know, like deep down in your heart that you need to do, say you said like to get a job or do some difficult physical feat or whatever it is, you can either work towards getting a job now, or you could work towards, if you hate your job, let's say you're in a job that you're working and you hate it, you can work towards improving your situation now, or that, and that might increase the amount of pressure and workload you put under in the immediate term. And that doesn't sound pleasant. So a lot of times that's what stops people from doing that. And then to consider your opportunity costs and think like, okay, well, you could do that now or you could do it 10 years from now. And the only difference is 10 years has gone by where you've been working at a job you hate.
Yeah.
And now you're older and maybe have less options available to you because time affords you options. And as you move forward in time, you set more of your existence into like concrete past time and there's less of the potential of the future available to you.
Mm-hmm. Inaction has consequences as well.
Exactly.
Action obviously has consequences, but inaction has potentially, well, possibly scarier consequences depending on the situation.
And the best part of action is that either you do the right thing and it works out, which is unlikely, because we never know what we're doing, really, you know. Yeah. And the more likely option is you do the wrong things and it doesn't work out, but you figure out exactly what doesn't work out. And if you can continue to figure out things that don't work out,
yeah,
you'll get closer and closer to it working out, you know. So it's like get the ball. If you need to fail 7 times before you get a new job, you know, it's like hurry up and start failing.
Yeah,
because then you'll have gotten them out of the way and you'll learn things from those failures along the way to be the kind of person that can handle and create the success at the end of it, you know.
Absolutely, bro. I'm gonna finish off with I have a sticker here that represents Corey LeBerry, my late friend Corey LeBerry.
Yes.
And in a vlog of Bobby Mares, Bobby goes up to Corey, and I think it was near New Year's, and he goes on to ask Corey, hey, what's your New Year's resolution? And on the sticker, on top it says, oh, well. And he would always just mention, I would rather live my life saying, oh, well, than what ifs. And so
that's good.
That's just that. And it's so simple. It's like, what, you know, I don't want to live a life where I have to spend my 70 to 80, when I'm 70, 80, 90, or even 60, 50, where I have to imagine what I could have done rather than looking back and saying, I did that. And I'm so glad I did that. And I have stories to tell now. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most valuable things to connect human beings together is telling stories. And when you got a lot of stories, you can bring a lot of people together. And so I would rather live my life saying, oh, wells, than what ifs. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Anyways, guys, this is effing good, dude. We sound effing smart. Let's go, dude.
We're working on it. We're working.
Let's go.
Maybe one day.
But anyways, you guys have anything that you want to leave any links down below? Anything that you want to share? Anything that you want people to know or catch?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on social media. I've got a YouTube channel.
And an Instagram.
Jake Roque.
Ladies.
JakeRoque. Check him out. Instagram. Ladies, check me out. I post at least once every 3 months. Maybe not that much.
No. Post a lot. Post a lot of stuff on his Instagram.
I'm posting more right now, actually. Yeah. Especially now that I'm wrapping up the management of school. So.
F, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mike doesn't have...
He doesn't have social media. Deeper conversation for another day.
Yeah.
I technically have an Instagram.
Yeah. What's your Instagram?
It's Michael Sutherland and the number 5. But honestly,
you have like 3.
Don't follow me. I have nothing interesting to
say. Oh my gosh.
Show you guys.
He's got a couple interesting things. Dude, exactly 2, actually. Bro. 2 interesting things.
Bro, you're wouldn't be sitting at this table if you weren't interesting. So anyways, thanks for watching the Better Together podcast. Let's give a round of applause to these 2 guys. Just me.
Thank you.
Just me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to applaud myself.
You applaud yourself right now. Okay. Keep on going.
Is that a reoccurring joke? The just you applause?
No, that was awkward for me. We should all applause right now.
Let's give a round of applause. Just
there we go.
One clap.
All right. Thanks for watching, guys. Peace out. See you. Love you. Peace, guys. Love you. Bye.